Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this series and what it's awakened in us. We continue to renew our minds to the truth. We thank you, Father, for a reverence and a real respect for your word. We do not take it lightly. The things you say about us, the things in scripture and the things you whisper to us, we receive them. We believe them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles this morning and let's say this together. These are our Bibles. We are who God says we are. The truest thing about us is His Word. And He says, we are the work of His hand. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are more than conquerors through His unfailing love. We're going to conclude our series this morning on Awakened Unto Righteousness, as the Lord has been adamant that our knowledge of righteousness that comes through Him and not through us empowers us, equips us, sanctifies us, and awakens us to the truth of who we are. So we pray this has been a great blessing to you. Isaiah 32, verse 16. This is where we left off last week. Let's go back there. This is the NIV. The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert. His righteousness lives where? In the fertile field. That's you and me. He lives inside the fruit-producing field. Verse 17. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. You see all these benefits and byproducts to God gifting you righteousness. He gifted you relationship with Him. You didn't earn that. He gave that to you. It wasn't free in the sense that it did cost. It cost God. But He gifted that right standing to you, and we've been looking at all these byproducts of that gift and what it does in the heart and life of a human being. The first one was sanctification. We spent a couple of weeks on that. And then what we found here in Isaiah is peace, quietness, confidence forever, peaceful dwellings, and then also security. When we talk about security, I don't know if you remember, but I mentioned until you know who's keeping you, you're going to look to everybody and everything to keep you. So you got to know who's keeping you. Well, humans are made for security. We want to feel safe. Amen? And that's okay, but where you look for that security is very important, because if all your security and happiness and fulfillment is coming from another human being, you are set up for disaster. You're set up for heartbreak. A good pastor friend of mine in Del City tweeted out this week, what a stout statement. Listen to what he said. He said, did you know that if you're looking to somebody else to make you happy or fulfill you, you're not loving them, you're using them. That's a fantastic statement. And how much of that do we see in the world? Even the TV shows that are all about dating and finding our husband or our wife or our soulmate. I mean, they're looking to this person, and if God's not in the picture, of course they're going to look to that person. But if you're looking to a human being to make you happy, you're not loving them, you're using them. So we need to know that our security and our happiness comes from God. You weren't made by that person for that person. You're made by God for God, and now you can be a gift to that person, a helpmate to that person. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Let's look at Isaiah 54. We also looked at this last week. Verse 14, 15, and 17 says this. In righteousness, says the Lord, you shall be established. Amen. I'm established in righteousness. Earned righteousness? No. Gifted righteousness. You shall be, because of it, far from oppression. You shall not fear, you'll be far from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, those will try to come against you, but not because of me. Did you see that? Fear, oppression, and terror will come knocking on your door during the course of life, but you need to know it's not coming from God. Right. All right. Whoever assembles against you for against you shall fall for your sake. And here's verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? Because you're established in my righteousness. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Isn't that good news? What joy to know that my righteousness came from God and not from me. How many of you ever done a big piece of stupid and the enemy says, you're not righteous anymore? Well then, if that's the case, I'm established in my own righteousness. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The only righteousness that's acceptable to be established in is righteousness from God. And rightfully so, the one true righteous holy God. Acceptable righteousness and holiness has to come from Him. I cannot act or behave my way to right standing with God. I can only accept or reject Christ's offer. I told you last week about the pastor in Florida, 80 years old, got a revelation of gifted righteousness. And he said from now on, or for all these years, you know, he had served God out of what he could do for God. And he said, but now I'm going to serve him out of what he's done for me. And even at 80 years old, in the pulpit, ministering to people and to the congregation, now he's ministering out of a place of security and confidence in God. Because his confidence is not in him anymore. We know this is a good thing. His confidence and security is in the Lord. And he's been released from performing for God and for right standing. Now, let's go up the mountain a little bit. This is really good stuff right here. Righteousness and holiness matter. I want you to write that in your notes. Righteousness and holiness matter. Just not for all the errant religious reasons we were told it mattered. For example, righteousness matters so God will love you. How many of you have ever felt in your feelers when you did a big piece of stupid, God didn't love you very much? You ever experienced that? Or I don't feel very clean and close to God right now. Okay, so righteousness matters, but not for all the errant reasons religion told us, like to be close to God. Well, the only way I can be close to God is if I never stumble, or the only way God will love or accept me is if I never fail. No, that's not true. Righteousness comes through Christ, but my behavior does matter, and here's why. Righteousness matters because of love. Love for God. Right? And what's one of the ways we can show God we love Him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. So it's one of the ways He shared with us that we could demonstrate our love for Him. I don't know how it got turned around to, if you don't do what I ask, I won't love you. Because he didn't say that. How about it matters because of love? How about love for people? Sin hurts people. Unrighteousness hurts people. So righteousness matters because of love. And then even love for one's own self, it matters. We want to protect ourselves. Righteousness matters, this is a good one, because we shouldn't cast our pearls before swine. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before a swine, lest they, not God, lest they, the world, turn and tear you to pieces. I'll never forget the Lord telling me, He said, Steve, I'll always love you. No matter what you do, I'll always love you. He said, but the world is not that way. So do not cast your pearls before swine. Make sense? Holiness also matters. Righteousness matters because the world, remember the Lord telling me, the world cannot discredit my message, but they do try to discredit my messengers. We've seen it time and time and time again. So it matters. Everybody say it matters. But my personal righteousness and obedience to God is not where my security is. My security to get up every day and walk with the Lord is in what He's done, not what I'm doing or what I have done. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, what about Deuteronomy 28? All right, let's talk about it. Deuteronomy 28, God said, if you do all these things, I'll bless you. And then He also said, hey, you do all these things, I'll curse you. Okay, so what do we do with that? Well, it's funny how many New Testament Born again Christians don't know that they're saved. Saved from the wrath of God through Christ. How many Christians don't know they've been redeemed? Are you ready? Redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says this, Jesus Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree. Okay, so everybody say, I've been saved and I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. So we can have security. How many of you know if you read Deuteronomy 28, that's your quiet time and you go out and you do a big piece of stupid, it's going to be hard to have some security because you're thinking God's going to curse me. Well, Christ has come and he has delivered you from the curse of the law. Amen. Now, does your behavior matter? Well, sure it does, just not for all the reasons we thought it did. Let's go to number 7. Now, this one, rest, comes from quiet resting places in Isaiah 32. I just showed it to you a little bit ago, okay? So this is another one from Isaiah 32, 18. Quiet resting places. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. Rest is a byproduct and a benefit of being gifted righteousness. If it's been gifted to you, you're not working for it. If you came to church today so you could be righteous, you're in unbelief. Because if you're in Christ, you've already been made right with God. He did that for you. It's just Jesus, people. No additives or preservatives. It's just Jesus. You're either in him or you're not. Was powerful. Hebrews 4:9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest, the Lord's rest, has himself ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience with the children of Israel. So God's word defines rest as those who have ceased from their works. What kind of works? Doing nothing? How about this one? Let's wait around till the rapture comes. Let's do nothing. Let's hope God, no. Rest from dead works. And you can put that in your notes because it's biblical. He's talking about rest from dead works. We've ceased from our works. What kind of works? Dead works. And here's what dead works are. Any attempt we make to get ourselves right with God, that's a dead work. If Kyle works hard to get himself right with God, why is that work dead? Why is it pointless? Why does it have no meaning? Because he could do it till the cows come home and he can't make himself right. The only righteousness he could be established in would be self-righteousness. And that's frankly insulting to the one who came down here and suffered and died and hung on a tree that he might become the righteousness of God. Does that make sense? Vance, make sense? It's going to get good. Dead works, any attempt we make to get ourselves right with God, anytime we're looking to ourselves. People locked in dead works we can find in Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. Look at this, Hebrews 9, 13, 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. He's talking about the old covenant there. How much more, everybody say how much more, shall the blood of Christ, not a heifer, the blood of Christ, who through his eternal spirit offered himself, look at this, without blemish to God, without spot to God, how much more shall he and his blood cleanse your conscience from dead works so you can serve God now? Cleanse your conscience. I love 1 John 3:20. Even if your conscience condemns you, God is greater than your conscience. We gotta have a way to get up off the mat. If we stumble 7 times, we gotta have a way to get up off the mat, because my conscience is coming. Amen? And thank God for the human conscience. Thank God for it. But God is greater than my conscience. So I repent, which simply means I line up with who God says I am, I turn from that, and we carry on. We walk on. That's good stuff right there. He wants to cleanse your conscience from dead works, from all your attempts to get right with God. So he released you. He made you right. Who do you love now? Who are you going to choose? We want to choose him. How about this one? Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. So come on, people. Let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help. Literally, dead works in the New King James Version. And turning in trust towards God. He's saying these things are elementary. Baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. These are elementary things. Let's move on from them. But included in that is repentance from dead works. Let us move on from repentance from dead works. Why is there so much burnout and frustration in the body of Christ? There's been little repentance from dead works. People still working hard. There's little understanding of rest. Did you know most pastors struggle with rest? Resting in God? Ceasing from their efforts to be made right with God? A lot of pastors struggle with that. Let me show it to you. Jeremiah 50 and verse 6. Look at this. The Lord says, my people have been lost sheep. Why? Well, their shepherds have led them astray. They've turned them away on the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Well, if you got shepherds who don't know how to rest in the finished work of Christ, no wonder the body of Christ working their heads off. And because we don't know we were reconciled, we didn't start reconciling anybody else. How do you go reconcile the world to God through the blood of Jesus Christ if you don't even know you're reconciled? Amen, somebody. It doesn't say they were led astray because they weren't taught to work hard enough. They were led astray because they're not doing enough religious things. No, they're led astray because they weren't taught, don't forget your resting place. Don't forget to rest. I know we're hardwired for our divine assignment. Remember, you're not a laborer. People don't get rich off the sweat of your back. You have a divine assignment. Did you get it? You're not just a laborer. You have a divine assignment. And we're hardwired for that divine assignment. It's the image of God in man to work. The image of God in man is to work. God worked. Ladies, if you're looking for a man, before God gave Adam a wife, he gave him a job. Amen, Kyle? Otherwise, you're going to end up supporting him. And it's the image of God in man to work. Go tell him to read the book of Job. It's in there. It's in the Bible. I love you, honey, but have you read the book of Job yet? Because I ain't supporting your tired self my whole life. But I want you to write this down. It's very important. Key point right here. But we're as hardwired for rest as we are for our divine assignment. Man is wired. Mankind is wired for divine assignment, but we're as hardwired for rest as we are for working in that field, okay, in our divine assignment. You're as hardwired for receiving as you are for producing. Why? Because you're a branch. Branches that don't receive don't last very long. Right? So there's a lot of burnout in the body of Christ because of that. Look at prayer. Most of the westernized prayer model in the United States, we've only been taught to work in prayer. We're going to work in prayer. We're going to war in prayer. We're going to convince God what we think he ought to do for us. All that is works-based prayer. Instead of just learning to rest and receive in prayer. Could you imagine prayer as a place you go for rest in God's presence? That changed my life 8 years ago. Yeah. Learning to rest in prayer instead of always just using it as work and toil and trying to convince him what my highest good is. Like I know better than him. what I have need of. In a recent survey, over 50% of the pastors surveyed said the only time they pray is to get a message for Sunday. Now that's more than half of them. The only time they pray is to get a message for Sunday. How many of you know that's labor-driven prayer? That's not resting in God. That's, okay, God, I'm desperate. It's Friday at 5. What should we do? Those same pastors cited little or no time at all to reflect on or rest in their Heavenly Father's love for them. We don't have pastors who are spending time resting in the Father's love for them. If you're not receiving it, you can't give it. And that's why we have so many in the body of Christ working and toiling, and they don't know their Father's love. We only love because He first loved us. Well, take some time to receive it. Take some time to enjoy Him. Well, but what about when I fail? I'll tell you, when you fail, you much more belong in His lap as your dad than out estranged running away from home. If you fail, own up to it. He'll love you. He's a good dad. Amen? And He does discipline. He's a good father. But it's not shame-based and worthlessness-based, and He's none of that. Amen. So resting and receiving in prayer can be as maturing and transforming as working in our divine assignment. How many of you know we can mature and we can grow when we're walking out our divine assignment with God? Well, listen to this, because this is a key point. Resting and receiving can be as maturing as working with the Lord. Resting and receiving in His presence can be as transforming as getting out there and doing what He's called you to do. Well, this is good. It's good. Everybody who slept in today is missing out. It's a late night last night. Don't let the spirit of this culture tell you that if you're not busy, you're not important. Because that's the spirit of our age. Well, if you're not busy, you're not important. No, we need to learn to rest. Why? Because the God of the universe rested. And I'm made in His image. And if He needed rest, I sure enough need rest. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And he can be as pleased and blessed by you being still as He can partnering with you out in the field. Amen. We don't hear it, but it's true. There's times to be used of God in our divine assignment, and there's times to be stilled and be filled. And your Father loves those times. Ministry out here instead of intimacy is idolatry. Ministry instead of intimacy is idolatry. There's times to use prayer so things get changed, but there's times to use prayer so we get changed. Amen? We're branches. We gotta have some vine to give away. We're as hardwired as a branch to receive as we are to produce. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Love and honor for God's word. What's a byproduct of God gifting you right relationship with Him? Love and honor for His word. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. See, we become His. When you got gifted a relationship with God, you were without excuse. It's not up to you to get close to God. Christ got you close to God. Why aren't you close to God? So you don't have an excuse anymore. So now we get addicted to Him. We become His. I'm really, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did. I'm yours. Hook, line, and sinker. Right? I don't stand at the river and say, here's my past, here's my guilt, here's my shame. I walk into the river and I say, here I am. I belong to you. All of me is yours. Religion says throw your tithe in, throw some time in, throw some prayer in. The Lord says throw you in. Yes. I don't care about your tithe. I don't care about your Bible reading. I don't care about your prayer. I care about you. And if I get you, all that other stuff will come out of it. Yes. Somebody give God praise for that. Amen. So we love His truth because His word now is our lifeline. Everything I am is wrapped up in who he says I am. So his word is my anchor, is my lifeline. I gotta have a source for truth. I gotta have a master light from which I can see. I can't trust the mainstream media. Man, I saw on Twitter the other day, what a blessed survey or report this was. They said that of all the people they asked, only 6% actually believe the mainstream media is telling the truth. Man, thank God. Because mainstream media right now is just a complete, what's the word I'm looking for? Sham business. It's a business. So they own the information. They're not telling you the truth. They're promoting agendas. If you own the information, you can do with it what you want. It doesn't have to be true. Now, the kicker of that story is 6% believe the mainstream media, 14% of Americans believe in Sasquatch. Brian? Wilburton, right? He's down there. Let's take a men's group down there and find Sasquatch. That delighted my soul. I'd much rather people believe in Bigfoot than the mainstream media. I would. Thank God. Maybe we're waking up to something. Because information is indoctrination. You think they're not trying to indoctrinate you, you're wrong. They want to become your source for truth. But I'm sorry, I've got a no vacancy sign on my heart. There's no room for any other truth than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he tells me through his word and in the secret place by the Spirit. Amen. We need to put that one on Facebook today about Sasquatch and put it on the sign. How would that go over if we said more people believe in Sasquatch than the mainstream media? Would we get in trouble for that? No? Depends on who reports it. Oh, I don't know about the bylaws, what they say, but we're going to pray into that one because that's good. So I want you to catch what I just said. Not only do we love his word, we love his words. He speaks to us in secret. There's a lot of things Jesus said about the word. The Bible wasn't even written at that time. So he's talking about a personal relationship. He's talking about truth that comes from the Spirit. Amen. In the beginning was the word, right? The word was with God and the word was God. Ephesians 5:26, I'm quoting it to you. God makes the church holy and clean. Who does? God does. Ephesians 5:26. God makes the church holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of his word. Even Jesus, the living word, washed the disciples' feet. So his word, don't confine him to this book. He's alive and well. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded one day long ago, proceeds out of the mouth of God. Ongoing relationship. John 15:3, Jesus said, you're clean because of the word I've spoken to you. John 17:17, sanctify them in truth, thy word is truth. Amen. Jesus said that. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and it healed us. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure but by taking heed according to your word? We need a reverence for the word of God again. Amen. We need a real respect for God's truth. And again, I'm not limiting him to just this. I'm talking about his voice as our shepherd. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are your words to my taste, O Lord. They are sweeter than honey. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If we don't have his word and his truth, we can't tell that 94% of what the mainstream media says isn't true. They're just selling stories. You know that, right? Anymore, it's not, the morality of reporting the news has left the building, unfortunately. But, we're believing God for a great awakening again here in this nation. Amen. Write these down on the Word of God. 4 things for you. Number 1, His Word is life and health to us. Why do we love his word? It's life and health to us. Proverbs 4:22 says, my words are life and they heal the whole body. That is fantastic. Proverbs 4:22, my words are life and they heal the whole body. You're made for what he says about you. Don't judge yourself unworthy of it. Number two, his word is forever settled in heaven. It's forever settled. How many of you know God's word settles us? Life has a lot of ups and downs. I told you, don't trust in football. We were talking about that with Adrian this morning. We just can't. There's a lot more life than 19 and 20 year olds running around chasing an oblong object. As my grandfather would say. I told you that story. His words forever settle in heaven, so it doesn't fluctuate with the ups and downs of life. His word settles me. Lord, I'm just not sure. My feelings are running awry. What does the word say? His word settles me. Number three, his word will never pass away. What does that mean? Well, it's forever relative. That's what it means. His word applies to every situation. Well, I don't know, you know, we're trying to raise Johnny. I think we've outgrown what God says about child. You're a fool. God's word will never pass away. It'll always be relevant. Number four, his word is final authority. If Stacy and I are fighting because of something she's done. I tell you. If we're fighting, we can go to the flesh. Anybody gone to the flesh in a fight? Or you can go to the word. What does God say? What is his desire in this situation? If Joshua and Caleb, my two boys are fighting, we can let them flesh out or we can go to the word. The word is the final authority. There are authorities in our lives. The elders within this church body are God-given authorities. Amen. Thank you, God, for overseers. But if there's a disagreement, what do we got to do? We got to go to the Word. We go to the Word. It's final authority. All right, let's go to the next one because I'm running out of time. I got two more. How about a new family tree and a new history? A benefit of gifted righteousness is I got a whole new family tree. I have a whole new history. Guess what my history is now? His story is now my history. John 3:6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Yeah, I got born into a family. Maybe you'd say, well, I'll tell you, my dad was an alcoholic, my grandpa was alcoholic, his dad was alcoholic. We go back 200 years of alcoholism in our family. Listen, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but you've been born again. And you got a brand new family history and a brand new family tree you're interjecting into all that mess. I'm not subject to all that. And I'll say it again. I'm not denying what the natural says or what your lineage says or what history has been. I'm just denying that's all there is. I am not confined to simply the natural realm. Somebody give him praise this morning. I've been born of the Spirit. I got a new history, a new nature. Doesn't matter if your family tree is rife with anger or cancer. It doesn't matter. You have been born again. And just like you were born into a physical family and received physical traits, you got born into a spiritual family. And you have the very traits of your father's DNA in you, in your spirit man. Don't tell your kids, well, your dad did it, so I know you're going to do it. No, you tell them you're not confined by that. That might be the history and some of the pattern. But greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Amen. We can live by the Spirit. Last one. Number 10, the final byproduct, benefit of gifted righteousness, new nature, new spirit, new desires, and new want-tos. Now get this in your spirit, all right? New nature, new spirit, new desires, new want-tos. Ezekiel 36:26, New Living Translation, the Lord says, I'm going to give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. What kind of heart do you have? A tender, responsive heart. This is the true you. This is what happened to you. Verse 27, I'll put my spirit, not a spirit, I'll put my spirit in you so that you'll follow my decrees and be careful to obey my instructions. That's awesome. Two Fridays ago, I was in prayer and just hanging out with the Lord. And of course, my eyes are closed, but I could see him. He comes over to me. He gives me a brand new heart and hands it to me. And boy, I put that thing in my chest and it just lit me up. He said, Steve, that is the new birth. That is what I have done with gifted righteousness. You've been made new. You're a new creation and you have a new heart. That means you have new loves and new want tos. Don't let the enemy tell you you don't love God. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You do love him. And that is who you really are. Now you may not always manifest it because we don't always renew our mind to who we are by the Spirit. Is that true? We need to renew our mind every 6-7 minutes. Or seconds. Jeremy, you guys can go ahead and come. So we need to renew our mind though. To the fact I have new motives and new desires. I do love God. And no, devil, what I manifested there is not manifesting love for God, but that's not who I really am. Pastor Steve, if I have a new heart, why do I still do big pieces of stupid? Romans 7:20. This is good. Listen to this. Paul said, if I do what I will not to do, it is not me, but sin that dwells in me. Here they come. Paul said, if I do what I will not to do, it's not me doing it, it's sin that indwells me. Paul would not identify himself with sin. Somewhere between his body and soul, sin was located thanks to Adam. But we've been made new in our spirit man. So we can overcome that temptation. Now we don't always, that's what he's saying. Sometimes we do things we don't want to do. But isn't that proof we've been born again? Because I just did something I don't want to do. Boy, that's powerful. If you got a bad flesh pattern, if you're unsure if you do, ask your spouse. If you have a bad flesh pattern, don't identify yourself with it. You want to overcome it? Don't identify yourself with it. You identify yourself with what's happened to you in Ezekiel 36:26, or was prophesied over you. Last one, I want to read this to you. 2 Peter 1. Guys, what a way to end this series right here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. He's talking about steps of maturity and growth. Verse 6, add to your knowledge self-control. Self-control, add perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. Add to godliness brotherly kindness. That word, in another translation, is Christian affection. Should we not have an affection one for another? We should. It says, add to your brotherly kindness love. Love is at the top of the chart. There's no higher degree of spirituality than walking in the unconditional love of God. Now, if you're careful, you watch TV, it's going to be, well, the thing to get to is gifts of miracles and healings and all that. You're annoying if you don't have love. I don't care what gifts you're trying to operate in. Love is maturity. Now listen to what he says, for if all these things are yours and they're abounding in you, you're growing in these, you won't be barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he who lacks these things is short-sighted, has become blind, has forgotten he was cleansed from his past sins. Not knowing you're righteous will stunt your growth. You've got to know you've been cleansed. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. And so now you're on this progression of growth and maturity in Christ. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. I know I'm called. I know Christ has chosen me. He says, make that sure, for if you do that, you'll never stumble. And an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is he talking about you get to go to heaven when you're dead? Well, maybe that applies, but I think what he's talking about, if you're gaining access to the kingdom, you're gaining access to Spirit-led living. You're walking in love, you've matured, you understand you're cleansed from your past sins, you're grateful, and now you've accessed and walking in the Spirit. And that's where we're made to live. Amen? Will you stand with me? Somebody give God praise this morning. Amen? Amen. If you're here today and you've never accepted the gift of righteousness, this is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.